Or is she lying? I don't know. Anyway, but that can be, it's like you know, when you're a kid, you know exactly where you belong. You know, you're there with mom or dad or your family oftentimes. And, you know, it seems like it's easier sometimes as a kid to fit in, especially to the family. But when you start to hit these years of junior high and high school, it's like, doesn't make sense no more. You know, you figure out, am I pretty enough? I mean, that's what I think all the time. Or am I this or that enough? Do I do sports or do I do school grades, avid? You know, do I fit in with this people or this person? You know, it's just like upside down. I mean, between, you know, the drama kids or the jocks or the popular kids, or has anybody ever seen Mean Girls? Who has never seen Mean Girls? No, okay, just really, Cameron, you've never seen Mean Girls? Wow, you're the only holy one here, huh? All right, I don't advocate anybody seeing it. It's a terrible movie, but it's like this. I'm gonna use a $5 word here: microcosm. That's right, I just said it. Microcosm of life, you know. I mean, has anybody ever seen The Breakfast Club? Oh, see, all right. People would be excited about the '80s, but not okay. Whatever. But. It's this picture of what life can be like, of where do I fit in. And it's crazy because of all things, the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about our place because from the beginning to the end, God has been taking people that don't belong and making them belong. God's been showing people that think they belong, that they didn't even know what they thought that they knew because it ain't right. You guys get that one? Okay, never mind. Just write it down and look it over a couple times. But God is trying to show you guys, and he's trying to show me that there is a place that everybody fits. Now, I remember there was this old saying about cleaning things up, and it says, a place for everything and everything in its place. Ooh, that'll preach. A place for everything and everything in its place. You know, there's a place for everybody, and everybody needs their place. See, I love the fact that the Bible tells us that God knows your name. I love the fact that the Bible tells us that before we were born, God knew us. I love, even in the book of Revelation, God says, you know, there's these rewards that lay in wait for us. And there's even reward, you know, it's almost like one of the rewards, when I read it, it says, when I read it and when I interpret it in my brain, it says, God says, when you overcome this, we're going to have an inside joke. Like he wants to write a special name on your anyway. That's the way I interpret it when I read it in Revelation. That's the way my brain works sometimes. When I read the Bible, I see pictures, I guess. And that's a picture popped in my head. God wants to be that close to you because he values you that much. And today, you may not realize it, but that's why God created the church. Not for a building or for this or for that or so we could have lights and music. No, God created the church because everybody needs a place. And church is where we should practice that place. So when you go out into the world where it's scary and ugly and mean and harsh and difficult and challenging and all these things, when you go into the real world, you can say, this is the way it's supposed to be. That's why we're talking about you belong. You know, 10 years ago, they made this Mean Girls movie, and it's just bizarre the things that have come out from it. In Psalm 23, Jesus says a really interesting verse. You guys know Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not be in want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of
like that one rap song.
It was in the Bible first. There's this part in verse 5 where Jesus, or, you know, God, it says he prepares a table in front of my enemies. That's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting picture, right? I mean, last week, if you were here, we talked about a verse where there was a man, a rich man, and he said, "I'm having a party. I need as many people to come to this party as possible." And the people that were invited would be like, "I don't want to go." So he said, "Go and find anybody that wants to eat the freshest food they've ever had." And so they go out and they find all these people and they bring them to sit at a table. Maybe you've heard it say before that you can't sit with us. Maybe you've heard before that you're wearing sweatpants. It's Monday. You can't wear sweatpants on Monday, right? Is that what it is? Stop saying fetch. Fetch is not going to happen. What? Pink on Wednesday. That's right. I got pink on Wednesday. I can sit at the table because I got pink on Wednesday. And so do you. But not you. That's red. Okay. Y'all can sit at the table. We tight. Okay. No. But I think what God is saying from Genesis to Revelation, he's saying, you can sit with us. You can sit with us. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. See, God's saying, I've made a place where everybody belongs. Doesn't matter what you're wearing, no matter what slang you use or don't use, whether you like Go Ninja Go or the new Ninja Turtles, don't matter. There's a place for everybody. And you and I, if you love God, and if you're a person that says, I want to do things that God wants me to do, then we need to learn how to have a table that people can sit at. See, it's crazy because that table was set in front of the enemies. Why would anybody make dinner in front of their enemies? To kill them? To tease them? To poison them? Dang, what is this, like the Hunger Games or something like that? Nightshade. Okay, don't eat the berries. Why would somebody prepare dinner in front of an enemy? Why would you set a table out? Would it be to invite them so you can poison them? No. Surely that can't be. Could it be that God's goal is for you to be in a place to where you're so connected with God that even the people you hate and despise, you don't like, people you would consider an enemy, that you would be at peace with them? Oh, somebody better say, oh, I get it now. That's what that means. Maybe. would God rather, don't you think that's what God would desire? Like if God had his way, and you know he's going to get his way because he's God, don't you think that's what God would desire? That you would prepare that God would prepare a table before your enemies, whoever you call your enemies, because some of you guys might be like, my mom's my enemy today, and certainly please don't poison her. But that's what, because when God talks about heaven in Revelation in the Bible, I mean heaven, and I've said this before, heaven is not one big long church service, amen. Heaven is the greatest dinner party you've ever experienced. I mean, it says the best of all things is there, the loudest. I mean, the Bible says that the music is, the sounds, the shouting, the praise is so loud in heaven that literally the walls shake. I mean, that's some bass, brother. And God designed heaven to be this enjoyable party. It says every tribe, every tongue, every nation is invited. Y'all can sit with us. I mean, could you imagine just sitting at the table in heaven, eat some the freshest macaroni and cheese you would have never had, better than Kraft, and there you are sitting across from someone. You ask them their story, and they tell you their story of their faith and how they were raised somewhere on the other side of the world. And you hear, that'd be tight. All these new people to get to meet, and then you never get like tired or shy. That'd be cool. That'd be kind of cool, you know. And the Bible describes this picture to us, that God's desire is that. So God's desire is that we would be like that that too. I mean, Jesus was able to connect with a man named Nicodemus, who was like a Bible scholar of the day, but he was able to connect with a blind man named Bartimaeus, who people told him to shut up. I mean, literally, I don't know if you, every time you try to talk, people say, shut up, ain't nobody want to hear your business. I just want to talk to Jesus. We don't want to hear you talking to Jesus. Be quiet. I mean, this is the way they treated this man. He was a beggar. He had no money. He was blind. People made fun of him when he talked. And Jesus said, you know what? I want to be with that guy. I want to listen to what he has to say. So from the top to the bottom and everybody in between, me and you, Jesus said, there's room at my table for those people. There's room at my table. I've prepared it for my enemies. Jesus said, I prepared a table to eat with the people that crucified me. Dang, that's crazy. Think about that one. In the Old Testament, that's the left side of the Bible, there's this story about King David, 1 Samuel. You got your Bibles, because I know you do. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. You can write that in your notes, because I know you're taking notes too. just open up the notes app, type that in, 1 Samuel 22. And King David was the popular guy. So popular, people were making songs about him. David, he killed in thousands. David is killing 10,000. I mean, that's kind of a scary song if you think about it. The cheerleaders were making songs about him, and, you know, the teachers are like, look at that man, big man on campus. And then all of a sudden, King Saul, when he was a teenager, you know, King Saul began to get jealous and gave him the boot. He said, David, I'm going to kill you. So all of a sudden, he went from being Mr. Popular to number one on the hit list. Bam. That's a bummer, right? So when you have the entire force of the American government was trying to kill you, just you. The president was like, this angel guy, we don't like him, and we have to kill him, get the drones. And, I mean, that would be terrible, and that's essentially what happened to David in one day. He went from being the number one popular hit star, you know, Philistine slayer. And now he's number one on the hit list. So he runs, and the Bible tells us that he runs for his life, and he goes to the Badlands, he goes to the desert, he goes to where nobody lives all by himself, and he finds a cave for himself. And it's interesting, and in 1 Samuel 22, let me turn there because I'm not there yet, but I know you are because I gave you lots of time to turn there. 1 Samuel 22, the Bible says this about David. It says, therefore David departed from there, and he escaped to a cave in a place called Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to try to find him. His family didn't even know where he was at until they finally heard word or rumor, Adullam, I'm going to be there. So his family's looking for him, and it says verse 2 in 1 Samuel 22:2, it says, and everybody who was in distress, everybody that was in debt, oh no, and everybody that was discontented gathered to David. Dang. I mean, if you're in trouble, you want, like, the Coast Guard, the Navy. You want the big, strong dude. I mean, look, if you're going to get jumped, you want the big dude behind you. You don't want the kid that owes everybody $5 asking everybody, you got any change? You know that one? I mean, look, I mean, every school has that guy. Got any change? Can I borrow a piece of paper? Yeah, borrow. You're going to give it back, right? You want to borrow because you want to give it back? And you know he's not going to either. That kid, that guy, finds David. And it says, everybody that's in debt, distressed. Everybody that's discontented with life. They were unhappy. They were sad. They were wearing way too much eyeliner that was dripping down their cheek. And it says, so David became captain over them. King David became king of the losers, king of the rejects, king of everybody that owed everybody $5, because those are the people he attracted to him. And David said, nobody else wants you? Well, then I'll take you. David said, nobody else wants to hang out with you?
well, then I'll hang out with you. You can sit at my table. And it's crazy because it's kind of like a picture of Jesus. You know, when Jesus was run off to the garden, when Jesus was run off to the grave, his cave, who came to Jesus? The women nobody wanted to listen to? The one who used to be a prostitute? These people came to Jesus at the cave, in his grave. When they heard the grave was empty, who came to the grave? Is his friends that rejected him, the ones that were down and out, depressed, they came to him to see, was he there? Just like David, I guess. And 400 of the misfits, the rejects of life came to see King David. And he said, let's do this. Now, it's crazy because if you read the Bible, King David, you know, well, he was before he was king. He was the reject David. He begins to fight battles and he begins to go towards all these military places. And he kind of begins to become a warrior. And all these rejects, all these people that nobody else wanted, he begins to turn them into mighty men. In 2 Samuel, in the next book, in the second part of this story, then it begins to describe David's army, these 400 men. And it doesn't call them the guys who had debt, the discontented, the sad, the depressed, the down, the out, the rejects, the losers. It doesn't call them the misfits or the wannabes. It says these men are the mighty men of valor, the men that kill giants. The men that kill giants. How did you go from sad little emo boy to the man who kills the giant assassin with 12 fingers? Because that's the reason there. How do you go to that? To the greatest generals and warriors, sword swingers and spear stabbers. How do you go from that? Because when you believe in people, the best comes out of them. I love what Pastor Jim, our senior pastor, he says it all the time. He tells us as a staff, he preaches at the main sanctuary. He says, a person will only go as far as they're encouraged. You will only go as far as you're encouraged. And these people, that all they had heard their life was negative and ugly, and you're this and you're that, and you're this word and that word. But when they find David, he's the only one willing to say, you guys are mighty men. We can do this. We're gonna make it after all. Right? I don't know. It's old. Never mind. Whatever. And they become mighty men. You see, real quick, we're a church. Not because we come into a building, because we believe in Jesus. And if we leave this building, and when you go to school, and when you start your new classes, and you see new faces, I mean, it's really easy to size people up. Yes, no, yes, no. I want her number. Yes, no, 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 no. That's what we do. Especially you start a new school, getting ready. Some of you guys, senior year, getting ready for college. You guys, new on the team, new kid. You size them up real quick. And people sizing you up. Well, how about we take a step back and we begin to look at this with a different set of eyes, the eyes of King David. Let's look at this through the eyes of Jesus Christ. We don't look at the outside. We look first to heaven and say, God, what can I, instead of saying, what can this person do for me? What circle of friends can this person introduce me to? I don't want to be with them because they might affect my aura of meanness. Let's ask, what can I do to bring the best out of somebody around me? And I love it because, David, Jesus, they gave mercy when they needed mercy. David was on the run for his life, and he attracted a bunch of people that were on the run for their lives, too. And instead of turning their way and say, hey, look, there ain't no room in this cave. Because, really, how big can a cave be, right? For 400 people, that must be a big cave or a very small sleeping space. You think about it. He gave mercy when they needed mercy. I love what Matthew 5:7 says. Matthew 5:7, Jesus on the mountain, he says, blessed are the merciful, because they'll get mercy. And if you, bless you, if you remember to give people what you want, then you'll always be on the receiving end of God's goodness, always. And The minute we begin to think of ourselves as better or a judge of somebody else, then we begin to get into a difficult place because we're called to give mercy, not judgment. That's God's place, not ours. So when you see somebody that's different, when you see somebody sitting alone, when you see somebody that's having a hard time, give them mercy because you know that you need mercy. You've got to give what you want. And you also need to give kindness from a genuine heart. This is the crazy thing. King David, he welcomed people into his cave that couldn't give him anything. That's crazy. You know, we always think of, we always say you gotta be in a relationship or have some type of thing where you get something out of it, right? I mean, you go to a store and you give them $5 because you want something that's worth $5, right? I mean, don't go to McDonald's and be like, here's $10, thank you. No, you're like, here's $10, where's my Big Mac? I mean, if you have a death wish, of course you would do that, but there's an exchange. Well, David had nothing to gain. Look, these dudes wouldn't even pay the people they owed money to. These guys were running from loan sharks, and people want to cut off their thumb, you know? I mean, like, give me $20 or you're losing the pinky, too. They got nothing to give David, but he gave to them anyway. And what he got out of it was mighty men that would follow him into the face of death. See, you got to give from a genuine heart. Don't be somebody's friend because you think, oh, well, I have to be their friend so I can tell them about Jesus and get them to church. Yeah, that's cool, but like, would you want to be somebody's friend if they're like, I'm going to be your friend just so you can go to church? No, that's not how you evangelize. You evangelize. You share the gospel by being genuinely interested in other people. Every time you talk to somebody, are you asking more questions about them or somebody else? Look at your Instagram feed and do the count. On this side, selfies. On this count, youfies. Because that's a picture you take of other people. You. Get it? Get it? Stop saying Yuffie, Richard. Yuffie's never going to happen. Okay, whatever. All right, I get it. But check it. How many pictures are you not in on your feed? All right? And if it's less than the fingers on your hand, you need to start Yuffieing instead of selfieing. Okay, never mind. It's not going to happen. All right. But 1 Timothy, if you guys have a 1 Timothy, do you guys have 1 Timothy 5:7? Bible says this. Pew, 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 pew. Because I got to shut it down. We end in time today. Now, the purpose of the commandments is love from a pure heart. From what? A good conscience. We're not thinking, what can I get out of somebody? We're thinking, what can I give to somebody? A pure heart. Your motives are not just to be friends with him so you could get close to his brother because his brother got really nice eyebrows. You see what I'm saying? From a sincere faith. You got no other motive than to be a blessing to somebody. King David said, these people can't give me anything, but I can give them vision. People you can pour into, from which some, having strayed, turn aside to idle talk. They're wasting their time. They're desiring to be teachers. They think they know something, but they don't know nothing. And then lastly is this, you need to give goodness so that people can know Jesus. People only know what you show them about Jesus. I don't know very many people that open up the Bible on their own. And as a pastor, sometimes it's hard enough to get people that go to church to open up their Bible. but a lot of times your life is the only Bible people will read. And it says in Romans, it says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Not judging or condemning or, I mean, don't get me wrong here. I mean, we need to get our act together. But it's God's goodness that changes people's lives. So what are you showing good about God to other people? What are you showing good about God to other people? See, that's what it means to make somebody belong. You know, David was there. And something happened that didn't happen with Saul. You know, with the king that was trying to kill him, Saul had to make people do things. And they left him. His own son didn't even want to follow him. Because he wasn't being good, kind, loving. He wasn't being like Jesus, put it that way. But David was a man that gave into people's lives. Even people that would hurt him and try to betray him, he gave and gave and gave. And that's the difference. You know, the difference between somebody that that turns their back on God and somebody that lives a full life for God. Because there comes a point in life where you're like, I've heard that story before. David and Goliath, been there. Jesus, you know, and the fish. I know the 4,000, the 5. I know these stories. The difference is when you go from hearing to doing. So if you're in this place and you don't know what to do with your life, if you think you know it all, then you need to go to a person that hears about God, to a person that actually lives for God, that you're giving mercy, that you're giving kindness. This week, I want to challenge you guys to do something kind, to invite somebody to your table, to ask and introduce yourself to somebody new that you've never met before, to find somebody who's hurt and do something kind. Look, for goodness sakes, just do something nice for your parents, okay? To take the idea that everybody in this place has a place to belong. So what can I do to help somebody feel like they fit in? Because they fit in. They fit into God's kingdom. Nobody gets left out. Now, everybody gets reached differently, but maybe that differently is you. And if it's not, then you just move on. But ask yourself. I mean, I remember years ago, I challenged the youth back then. Years ago, I said, this week, you need to buy lunch for one person. I told them that. You need to find somebody. You say, I'm going to buy lunch for you, man. People were like, one girl came up and say, they said, man, they didn't believe it. They were like, no way, you're gonna buy lunch for me? I don't even know you. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna buy you lunch. And he was like, yeah. And so the other girl was like, I found this kid and I told him, I'll buy you lunch. And he was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna buy you lunch. And he was like, really? And then his girlfriend was like, get out of here. She's like, Pastor Richard, I almost got beat up for buying somebody lunch. I was like, oh, don't buy him lunch. Buy her lunch next week. Anyway, lo and behold, she didn't get beat up. But being kind is dangerous. Dangerous being kind. Find somebody and fill your table up with people until you need a bigger table, until you need to start bringing tables together. I remember last year I'd heard a story about an 8th grade girl who just started talking to people. And eventually it turned into like a church service where after weeks of going to school and talking to people, she would sit at the top of the hill at her junior high, and there would be 200 teenagers, 200 other junior hires sitting on the grass listening to her talk about Jesus. I don't even know how that happens. But she found the down, the out that needed hope. She began to give it to him. I don't know how an 8th grader does that, but I would like to be as blessed as she is one day. You belong. Everybody belongs. And God desires that no one be left out. So let's all do our part to see who it is, because you never know which person may be your next best friend. You never know which person that you talk to may be the person's life that you change, that can change the world. You guys got to think out of God. Let's give him praise today.